the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
As Nick said earlier, my name is Gemma. I'm training to be a youth worker here at Belmont, so I should actually be in the lounge doing a youth club right now, so thank you for getting me out of that. I have a confession to make, seeing as we're talking about forgiveness this evening. I am struggling to forgive someone. In fact, if I'm being completely honest, I have been struggling to forgive this person for a really, really long time. Now, this evening, we're going to look at a passage which hinges our own forgiveness with our ability to forgive. And before we start looking at it, before I share with you what I think God's been telling me about this passage, I want you to know that I have not mastered this. My head knows it. I'm fairly confident with that. But it's not quite worked its way down to my heart yet. And I want you to know that because I know that this is a really difficult topic. And I know that it's one that lots and lots of people struggle with. There'll probably be people in this room right now who are struggling to forgive something or someone. There might even be people in this room right now who are struggling with the idea that they could be forgiven by someone for something. But wherever you are with this topic, whether you're nailing it or you're not, can I ask that you don't switch off this evening? That you don't shut down? That you don't push against anything that God is trying to say to you? But that you listen? That you're open to what he might be trying to say? That you allow yourself to think, to be challenged, and to grow? Because that's why we meet together on a Sunday, to learn and to grow together, to become more and more like the one who saved us and the one who made us. So, I'm going to pray that we can be open to what God is saying this evening, and I want to invite you to pray that prayer with me too. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you use me now as a vessel for your word. Speak to me and speak to us. Open our hearts and minds to your encouragement and challenge. Allow us to hear you clearly, to embrace your gentle nudges, and shape us more into the people that you intended us to be. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Over the past 3 or 4 weeks here at Belmont, in the evenings, we've been looking at this series called Living the Lord's Prayer. And it's all about how we actually live out this prayer that we all say in our day-to-day lives. So far, we've looked at relationship, we've looked at partnership, we've looked at provision. And tonight, I get to talk to you about forgiveness. Now, as I said before, I think this topic is difficult. And I think this line is a particularly hard one to hear. That said, I do think this line importantly reminds us of 2 key truths that we need to understand in order to grasp this idea of forgiveness better. Firstly, this line reminds us that we do stuff wrong. There would be no point asking our Father for forgiveness if we were perfect children. We are broken, selfish people who choose ourselves over others and God all the time. This line reminds us that we will make mistakes every day, and it's important to confess those and to repent of them. We have to accept our own fallibility and understand that there's a need to deal with that through repentance and confession. Secondly, this line reminds us that other people will do stuff wrong to us. We wouldn't need to forgive anyone if everyone was nice to us all of the time. We are all broken, selfish people who are brought into community together. Mistakes are inevitable. We will hurt others. Others will hurt us. And we have to accept other people's fallibility just like we have to accept our own. And we have to be prepared to deal with other people's fallibility just like we have to be prepared to deal with our own. You see, this is the context in which forgiveness takes place. Whether it's our mistake or someone else's, this line tells us that forgiveness is the only response. We are to forgive as someone who recognizes their own need for forgiveness, and we are to seek forgiveness as someone who recognizes their own duty to forgive. We are forgiven, and we are forgivers. That's really important. But what actually is forgiveness? What does it look like? Why should we do it? And why is our ability to forgive quite so important to God? Well, the Oxford English Dictionary defines forgiveness as the stopping of resentment or anger towards someone for an offence, flaw, or mistake. But I think that there's more to forgiveness than that. I think forgiveness is more than a stopping of resentment. It's a letting go of it. It's a letting go of that need to punish, to avenge, to get your own back. Now, don't get me wrong, forgiveness isn't about belittling sin, nor is it about ignoring its consequences. When we forgive, we're not saying it doesn't matter, nor are we ignoring the fact that pain and hurt were caused. But what we are saying is that we choose to love despite that stuff and not hate because of it. And I think that's what forgiveness looks like in our lives. It's choosing to love despite and not hate because of. And when we do this in our situations, in our contexts, in our places of work and school or whatever it might be, we are displaying to the world that God is living and moving and working in us. And I think that's one of the reasons why we should be doing it. Because forgiveness is such a powerful sign that we are choosing to crown Jesus King. God asks us to forgive time and time again, whether it's the story of Jonah in the Old Testament or the parable of the debtors in the New. God shows us that he is not only a God of forgiveness, but that as his people made in his likeness, he expects us to display that too. By forgiving, even when it's hard, we are displaying our obedience, marking ourselves as followers of him. We should also be forgiving people because we know what it's like to be forgiven. Right from the beginning of the Bible, God has been showing us his heart for forgiveness. And the pinnacle of that is Jesus. In the psalm Nick read earlier, we hear of the discomfort and the pain the psalmist went through as he lived with his unforgiven sin. As those who have been forgiven, we know the freedom that comes from it. And it is a freedom that we need to be offering to others. John Piper, he's a theologian, a church leader, and a writer. And he says that we cannot take forgiveness from his hand for our $1 million debt and withhold it from our $10 debtor. I'm just going to read that again. We cannot take forgiveness from his hand for our $1 million debt and withhold it from our $10 debtor. And he's right, isn't he? Because that's hypocrisy. And Jesus, he cannot stand hypocrites. But I think the main reason that God cares so much about our ability to forgive, The reason we need to be making forgiveness a priority in the way that we live out our lives is because of the damaging and dangerous outcomes unforgiveness can result in. Now, I don't know how good your knowledge of pop culture is. This is Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. And up until recently, these two have been embroiled in a very bitter and nasty feud. It started because Katy stole, allegedly, two of Taylor's backup dancers while she was on tour. Now, this feud lasted about 4 years. It was horrid. People who organised events where the two were attending had to plan it so that the two would be able to be kept separate for the entire night. There were people in the music industry, in other areas of celebrity life, picking sides. These two were self-proclaimed enemies. Now, they had resigned themselves to unforgiveness. And the result of that was an inability to reconcile. It didn't matter whether they confessed to doing wrong or not. As long as they both denied each other forgiveness, the friendship they once had was always going to be over. You see, in order to restore what is broken and embark on a fresh start, you have to be able to forgive. And it's an example that God shows us, isn't it? We hurt him, we do wrong by him, we cause him pain, and we pit ourselves against him as if we were his enemies. And yet through Jesus and the work that Jesus did on the cross, we are offered forgiveness, we are offered reconciliation, and we are offered that fresh start. Without God's willingness to forgive us, our confession would be futile, but because of it, we can have relationship with him. We can be brought back into reconciliation with him. Our relationship with him can be restored to what it was always meant to be. And God wants us to be restorers. He wants us to be peacemakers. He wants us to be able to live in community with one another as one body. And yet if we hold on to this inability, this decision not to forgive, then we can't do that. In June last year, Katy Perry did an interview with a magazine. And in it, she said that she forgives Taylor for what Taylor did, and she hopes that Taylor can forgive her for what she did. But she also said this: maybe I don't agree with everything she does, and she doesn't agree with everything I do. But I really, truly want to come together in a place of love and forgiveness and understanding and compassion. Now, Taylor and Katy are friends again now. And that's because they were able to let go of this unforgiveness. They both admitted to doing wrong, and they both were able to forgive each other. They've come to accept their differences and appreciate them. And although they might not be as close as they once were, they've chosen to love each other and not hate. We cannot be a people who resign ourselves to unforgiveness. Because when we do, we can no longer reconcile with each other. We can no longer have relationship with each other. And when that happens, we can no longer be the family, the body that Christ asks us to be. Living this way also leads to our own imprisonment. As we hold on to the pain and the hurt that we carry from our unforgiveness, a wise person once said that not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. When we choose to hold on to unforgiveness and are unable to let go, it is us that suffers, not the other person that hurt us. we are upset, we are angry, we are bitter, meanwhile they are free. By holding on to unforgiveness, which is a sin, we end up damaging ourselves. I mentioned earlier that I have been struggling for a really long time to forgive someone, and I have. But that person is dead. See, I spend my life stuck in the pain and the hurt and the hate for this person. And for what? I'm the person that's suffering, not her. And yet, suffering and bondage and captivity is just what Jesus came to free us from. He promises to break the chains and bondage that sin has placed us in. See, he tells us to forgive in this prayer because he knows that freedom comes from forgiveness. That freedom comes from letting go. Martin Luther King Jr., you probably know, he's quoted as saying that forgiveness is not an occasional act, it is a constant attitude. And you know what? I think that unforgiveness is actually the same. The more we choose to hold on to our grievances, the more we choose to hold on to that hurt, the more it becomes our way of life, our constant attitude. That we end up placing more and more bars onto the cells that we're imprisoning ourselves with, and it becomes harder and harder to break free from the behaviour. We have to choose to carry that forgiveness attitude everywhere we meet, everywhere we go, with everyone we meet. Because it's only when we make forgiveness our constant attitude that we can become free from the bitterness and hate that unforgiveness provides us, and we can be filled with the joy and love that comes from knowing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. However, I think the most dangerous outcome that comes from unforgiveness is the fact that when we resign ourselves to it, we set ourselves up as God. That's a bold statement. I'll take it. It's very bold. But I think it's true. When we stand there and we say, I cannot and I am not willing to forgive, we are saying that we get to make the call on who is worthy or not. That we get to be the judge. That we get to be the jury. That we get to decide the sentence. As Christians, we believe that it is only through Jesus' death and resurrection that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And in Romans, Paul tells us that when Jesus died, he died once and for all. Jesus died once and for all. God offers forgiveness to all people for all sin, and that is that. And yet, we decide that actually that person doesn't deserve forgiveness. Maybe they hurt us too much. Maybe what they did was too big or too vile or too wrong. Either way, we decide that they don't get to be forgiven. And the moment we do that, we say to God, I know better than you. I am better than you. Do you see how dangerous that is? How easy that is to do? Because the truth is, we don't get to decide. We're not the judge, we're not the jury, and we certainly don't get a say in the verdict. If God has decided that that person is worthy of forgiveness, then who are we to argue? Who are we to disagree. Who are we to think that we know better than the God who made and sustains our entire universe? I am battling to forgive a lady that hurt my family. She caused pain and damage and division that I have to live with and in. The stories I hear of the things that she did, they're horrid. They're nasty and they're mean. And I don't want to forgive her. And the reason I don't want to forgive her is because I genuinely believe that she doesn't deserve it. But that's not my call. And that's not your call either. It's God's call. And he made it 2,000 years ago. See, unforgiveness is dangerous. It causes division and hatred and pride. It destroys families, it destroys communities, and it destroys people. But forgiveness, real, true, honest, wholehearted forgiveness, is encouraging, it's restorative, it's loving, and it's Christ-like. True forgiveness builds communities. True forgiveness strengthens families. True forgiveness frees people. It costs. Jesus showed us that. But it's the only thing that keeps families together. So, what do we need to do to make forgiveness a priority, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us? We need to be choosing to make forgiveness the constant attitude of our individual lives. Actively choosing to forgive those who hurt us every single day. We need to be examining our own hearts regularly to see if we're holding on to any kind of grudge or hate or hurt or pain. And we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to come and heal us for that. Now, it might take a while. It might take months, it might take years, it might take a lifetime. But we will get there if we persevere. And it is so worth it when we do. We also need to be choosing to make forgiveness a constant attitude of our collective lives. Actively praying that we become a church who are quick to forgive each other. We need to be talking our disagreements out. We need to be seeking reconciliation with each other. We need to be letting go of that pain and hurt so that we are able to move on together. We as a church need to be creating a culture of forgiveness that shines out from this place to our city, to our county, to our world. Finally, we need to be building each other up in the practice of forgiveness, encouraging and challenging one another in how we model forgiveness in our own lives. We need to be holding ourselves accountable to each other. We need to be open about situations and people that we're finding really difficult to forgive and let go of. We need to be willing to pray for one another when it's hard, and pray with one another when it's difficult and when we're struggling to let go. See, forgiveness is hard. It's really, really hard. But it's powerful. As followers of Jesus, both individually and collectively, we need to model forgiveness to a world that is divided and broken, so divided and so incredibly broken. While we remain here on earth, there will always be hurt, there will always be pain, there will always be difficulty. But we have to love through that and be willing to let go of it for the sake of the kingdom. In a second, Nick's going to come up and lead us in communion. But before he does, I would like to leave you with this quote from William Young's novel, The Shack. It says, "You may have to declare your forgiveness 100 times on the first day and the second day. But the third day will be less, and each day after, until one day you will realize that you have forgiven completely. And then one day you will be able to pray for his wholeness."